As we come into the sanctuary and make ready for our worship this morning, truly we are blessed. We are blessed in the city, we are blessed in the field, we're blessed going out, and we're blessed when we're going in. I welcome you in the spirit of Christ today as you are joining us here at Nations Harvest Church Assembly. This is our Sunday morning service. God bless you. Why don't you just slip your hands together and just bless God right now. Amen. As we're assembling, we welcome all of our family and our guests that meet us here each Sunday by way of our streaming. Thank you for joining us. We asked you now to call up a friend, call up a family member, and let them know that the worship has begun. God bless you. Also, we would like for you to take notice as we will next Sunday begin our service at a new time. Service will begin next Sunday at a new time. That is both our in-person and our streaming services. This will be a slight adjustment from us from the 10 a.m. time. We will be moving to 11:30 a.m. And we're doing this as we are attempting to adjust with the uncertainties of our being protected during the COVID and other issues, I guess, that come along. And I'm asking that you pray with us, amen, and be patient with us, and most of all, plan to continue being faithful as we make these adjustments. Our music department will be back with us and in place next Sunday. Also, we're going to open to other than birthrights on next Sunday, other than our parishioners of Nations Harvest. Now, what we will do is we will monitor this as we go. Our seating, as we've made the adjustment so that we can still have our social distance based on the numbers, we're going to govern ourselves based on the numbers that come. Amen. This is my promise to you. I will continue to keep us safe. And we're going to stay on the side of safety. Is that all right with you? That's what we're going to do. We're not going to take anything for granted. We know that God is a God who heals. We know that the blood of Jesus covers us. Amen. But at the same time, we're not going to be at ease in the call of Zion. If you never got across that, that's in the book of Hosea. In other words, God is telling you don't take things for granted. Be vigilant, watchful, and proceed with caution. So that's what we're going to do. We have the entire open area out in our multi-purpose area with monitors out there, and you can get in the service. So if numbers just start coming, and then if we just get too many, we're not going to go back to all of the full capacity just yet, okay? Next Sunday, 11:30 a.m., we're going to be there. So those of you that join us here each week in our Eastern time zone, we have great numbers in Atlanta and in Cleveland and some of the other Eastern states, South Carolina, our family there. And church family there, we want all of you to know that that's going to be 12:30 for you. So we'll be here in Alabama at 11:30. So that's going to put you to an evening worship or an afternoon worship at 12:30. Amen. So don't get it mixed up. Don't come in at 11:30 and ask where we are, because you're still at your hour ahead of us. Okay, and you all let them know. Help them out. amen, to help him to get that straight so that we can all be here at the same time and we can worship together. So, and if you have any questions, ask in the chat. Ask in the chat. There are hosts that are there to answer questions for you. What is he saying? Just ask a question right in the middle of service. Before we get into the preaching, go ahead and ask them, and they'll answer you. Or you can contact us with other means. Amen. But we're looking forward to next Sunday just being a glorious time. Come on, one more time. Just clap your hands and be glad. Are you glad to be here? You can't be as glad to be here as I am glad to have you here. Amen. It's just good. It's good to have you here and to be in the presence of God and to see your smiling faces and to see that the joy of the Lord is your strength, because that's where we receive everything from, is from the joy of the Lord. Amen. And that becomes our strength. That's where we get not only our stamina, but we get that endurance, because we just get excited about what God can do. Now, for a moment, if you just let your mind rest on that as I get ready, right now there is nothing that can stop God from doing what he has planned to do for you. Nothing. No one can stop it. Nothing can stop what God has planned, not even you yourself. When it comes to what God wants to do for you, he'll get you out of the way. Amen. So that he can receive the glory out of what he has created you for. And that is to be a vessel, amen, of praise, glory, and honor. I want to invite you this morning to the book of Acts and the New Testament, Acts chapter 27. And there we're going to rest at verse number 13 in the book of Acts, chapter 27. And verse number 13, and I'm going to read, some verses from here. Looks like maybe about 9 verses. If we stop at 22 and start at 13, that'll be about 9 verses, I think, yeah. And I'm going to take up from this story to build a title that I want to discuss from today, and that is God's promise through the storm. I want to talk about God's promise to you through the storm. Now, it's going to be up to you, and I want it to proceed, though that may not be, you know, with good, you know, ethics to pulpit ethics to put the subject before reading, but the Holy Spirit's in control. So as I'm reading this, I want you to start thinking about the promise that God made you through the storm as you're hearing what I'm reading. It says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called a nor'easter swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so they gave way to it and were driven along. As they passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, they barely were able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of the Cyprus. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along, and then they took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging for many days, finally they gave up all hope of ever being saved. Verse number 21 says, "And after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, 'Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. But then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now this is what I urge you to do. Keep your courage.'" Somebody right there need to just stop and just think for a moment. You're in too deep now. So all you can do, and I urge you to do, is just take courage. Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. I want to talk about God's promise to you through the storm. There are all kinds of storms, especially in this northeastern part of the country where we live. We know that summer, spring temperatures and summer weather that presses its way to become a season causes uncertainty and instability in our weather's climate. The heat and its forced to make its presence and its debut to make the hot, sultry days of the South begin to mix with the cooler temperatures that are slowly abating and moving their way back to the North. Whenever they clash, we can know that there's going to be calamity in our midst. There are all kinds of storms. Not only are there storms that are associated with weather, but there are also storms that are considered to be storms in our lives. We have storms in our health, where good health is pressed by ill health. We have physical storms. We have financial storms. We even have emotional storms. Whenever the mix happens, there's the possibility of a storm. I look back and I think about when I was a kid, and I often say, no one ever really called me bad, not in front of my face, but I say I was a bad kid. I was very mischievous, let's put it that way. I was extremely mischievous. And they said often when you get in trouble, if it wasn't so bad, you wouldn't be so scared. But whenever all of the things that I thought that I was bigger and badder than, there was one thing that always brought me extreme fear, and that was a storm. One of the most terrifying things in my life was having to endure a storm. It didn't take much for me to want to get out of my bed and get into bed with mom and dad. Though I was big and bad, but whenever the lightning started to flash, when the thunder started to roar, the winds would start to toss that old house. We didn't live in a brick house. We lived in a wood house, and it had an under space, an undercrawl. It wasn't sitting on a slab, so when the wind moved, the house would start making noises. And I would watch that, and sometime that house would shake so much that I felt like Dorothy and Toto. I looked out of my window to see the Wicked Witch at any time, just dun 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 dun. I wanted to make this clear. I was terrified because storms terrified me. I went to Sunday school, but I must have been asleep when they taught the lesson on one of the safest places for someone to be. Is in the storm. Because the Bible teaches us that Jesus has a history of riding on storm clouds. And he has authority so much so that he can say to the storms, "Peace, be still." The psalmist declares that God lays the beam of his chambers in the waters. It is he that make the clouds his chariots. This is what the psalmist said. And it says that he walks out on the wings of the storm. Now, I found that very poetic, but I also found it very comforting to know that God actually rides the storm like a chariot. Storms that are not only physical, but storms that are financial, storms that are emotional. And as a matter of fact, there are some storms, and these are the storms that I want to talk the most about, are the storms that people cannot see. I call them undetectable storms. Storms that make people think that you haven't been through anything. Right now, while you're sitting in this room, it could be bright and calm, but at the same time, individually, there could be many storms that are going on in this room. Unknown to others and undetected by many, someone in here right now could be going through a storm. Someone that hears me sitting in your living room, sitting in your bedroom, driving along, sitting at work, looking at your mobile device, you could be going through a storm while everyone around you is at ease and calm. Just because you get up every day, and in spite of what you've been going through or whatever you were confronted with, you have this ability to press on through the storm. Yes. And what I call that is called not only a storm that's undetected, but it's called a secret storm. A secret storm. Because you don't want anyone to know that you're dealing with the forces of opposites. My desire to have peace, but at the same time, everything in my life is demanding calamity. A secret storm. You get up every day, and in spite of what you're going through, you keep on keeping on. You know how to turn a frown upside down and make it look like a smile, but on the inside, there is still the turmoil. When you go through a visible storm, the rules are different from that of a secret storm. Are y'all hearing me here today? The rules are different when it's a secret storm, because when it's a physical storm, people can see that you're in the storm. Mm-hmm. You can't hide it when you get into deep financial straits. People will start seeing it. Soon it's going to show up. When money gets funny, soon something is going to have to, things are going to change. People may see that they came to repossess your car, that they get news that there's a foreclosure because there's a tax lien. People can see that you've had to downsize and you've had to cut back, because in the physical storm, there is physical evidence that something is going on. They can see when you're in a physical storm that it's raining, and they can offer you an umbrella. They can give you help or assistance because they are aware that you're going through something that is causing you suffering and that you have a need for help. But when you're going through a secret storm, I'm not going to bother y'all long today, but I'm going to talk about this storm. When you're going through the secret storm, nobody knows. They can't give you an umbrella when you're going through the secret storm. And then people have this, they have it only natural to tell you when they have some indication that you may give this expression that everything is all right. They try to give you in a storm these words, everything's going to be all right. But I wonder, have anybody ever figured out how that really works? For somebody to tell you everything is going to be all right, and you appreciate it. Say amen. You appreciate it. I appreciate you telling me everything is going to be all right. But at the same time, I'm not seeing it like that.
Come on now. Come on.
You see, when you're going through a secret storm, nobody knows. Yes. Why? Because we keep moving like everything is absolutely, perfectly all right. That is why I don't think that my haters are really very intelligent. I don't I'm not questioning their IQ, but I'm questioning their intelligence. I don't think that my haters are very intelligent. They're really not. As a matter of fact, I don't think they're smart at all. So don't ever be one. Don't be a hater, because then I wouldn't think that you're smart at all. Because why would you be jealous and envious of me, not knowing what I'm going through on a daily basis? Yeah. Why would you hate on me when you really don't know? You couldn't be very smart, because, you know, while you're hating on what you see, you don't know that I have bills. Mm-hmm. I have grown children that I have to attend to. And it's one thing when they're in the other room. But it's another thing when you have to hear the phone ring.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In the wee hours of the morning. I have grown children,
yes,
that I have to attend to. Grandchildren that think that I'm still 21 and that Poppy ought to be able to just jump up at any moment. I have storms when I've got to tell them Poppy ain't able to do that. You're going to have to just give Poppy a minute. I have, yes, investments that don't always pan out. I'm talking about me now, because I don't understand why anybody would hate on somebody that have business that demands more than I can sometimes supply. Pain in my body that sometimes all I can do is just suffer through the night and wait for the morning to come. I don't know why you'd hate on me when most of my nights is weeping may endure. This is the story of my life for a night, but what I look for is the joy that comes in the morning. And you're hating on me, not knowing that I endure secret storms. I need you to reassess this now, and don't put a lot of emphasis on who your haters are. You need to focus on the idea that God is going to get you through this. Do y'all hear me today? Why would anybody hate on you? Maybe it's just because, and it's because the storms that they witness you going through. They witness you going through the shallow storms. You all understand. They have known you to deal with the shallow storms. They've seen you when you were out on the beach waters getting your toes wet. But they don't know what it's like when you've had to launch out into the deep. Y'all not hearing me? They're not knowing what it's like when the water that once was favored and enjoyed has now began to assuage in such degrees that you're finding yourself fighting for life.
Yes, yes.
Because it seems like what was once enjoyable is now taking total control.
Yes, yes,
uh-huh.
Yes, yes.
That child that was once so pretty and made the goo goo gaga sounds is now about to make your hair turn gray. About to make you lose your ever-loving mind. And one day, it was the joy of your life. It was the twinkle that was in your eye. But now, it's coming like a flood. And when the storms of life rage, some people drown, you see, in shallow waters. Uh-huh. Yes, when the little things come up, they just fall apart. And see, they watch you, and they watch you deal with the little things. Things that would make them just utterly throw their hands up and give up. So that's why they're hating on you, not because sometime of what you have, but they're hating on you because of how you handle, oh my God, your storm. Because see, they don't understand what it is that's driving you. I'm gonna be finished with you all in a minute. What's motivating you, what's stimulating you to say, whatever betides me, I'm going to keep on keeping on. Somebody in here know how to not only sing the song, but they can live the song. I told the storm. Yeah, you know what it's like. You see, what you have learned is that the presence of a storm does not indicate that God is absent. Can you say amen? Just because there's a storm, tell your neighbor, that does not mean that God is not here. Just because you're going through the storm, that does not mean that God has vacated. It does not mean that God has escaped, that he has left you. The presence of any problem does not mean that God is not present. However, storms will make you wonder where God is. Am I right about it? Storms will make you wonder, Lord, where are you? And you know, you have to appreciate the storm for that, because sometimes we tend to think that we're pulling the strings, that we're flipping the switches. So the storms bring you back to a spiritual reality. If it were not for the Lord that was by my side. Storms causes you to call him like you need him. Storms causes you to call him like you are who you are, and that is, I am your child. You see, that little bad boy I was talking about, when I got into things, it didn't matter. I wanted to escape the presence of a mom or a dad. But oh, when the storm come, all I needed to know that there is a mom or a dad. So it is with God. The storm will make you wonder where God is. Can I tell you what Job said? I'm going to tell you anyway. Job said, if I go to the east, he is not there. He is there. If I go to the west, I find him there. When he is at work in the north, I see him there. When I turn to the south, I catch no glimpse there. Now, what Job is saying, no matter where I make my bed, God doesn't meet me there, but he's already there. It's like, God, you knew that I was going to encounter this storm, because here you are already. Are y'all hearing? You see, we're closer related to Job than sometimes we think, because we too are of the notion that if God were with us, we would not have gone through the storm. Now, I want to clear this up. Can I clear the air here? Just because God is with you does not mean that you're not going to have a storm. I'm going to make that clear. Just because you love God, just because you praise him, just because you adore, just because you restore, it does not mean that you're not going to have a storm. Yeah, I need you to just say that to yourself. Say it out loud. Talk to yourself. Just because, it's just because I'm going, if God is with me, it does not mean that I'm not going to have a storm. You see, we're saying if God were truly with us, then we would not have any problems. That's not right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you're thinking just because God is with you that there is not going to be any death. That's wrong. Yeah, you think that just because God is with you that you're not going to have any pain. That's not real. You think just because God is with you that you're not going to have sorrow. That's not true. Because God is with you, you think that you're not going to have family problems, not going to have friend issues, you're not going to have financial problems. Job couldn't figure it out for a moment, because he said, if I am God's anointed one, if I'm God's man, if I'm blessed of the Lord, then how could my children die? If I'm blessed of the Lord, how could my livestock die? If I'm blessed of the Lord, how could my house be on fire with a total loss? Job said, I didn't see him in the loss of my children. I didn't see him in the loss of my livestock. I didn't see him in the loss of my house. God, you said that you got my back. And if you got my back, how did my kids die? How did my livestock die? How did my house burn? You see, God, you are omnipresent. You're everywhere. And then when you get everywhere, you're omnipotent. You got all power. So what I want to know is, where were you, God, when my children died? Where were you when my house burned? Where were you when my livestock died? That's what Job did not know. Job did not know that you cannot see from the inside of the storm. I'm about finished with you. And I want you to know that you're a lot like Job now. You don't always see God from the inside of the storm. No, you can't see him from the inside of the storm. Mm. You can't see him from the inside of the storm. You see, you're looking for God in the pain. Mm-hmm. You're looking for God in the loneliness. You're looking for God in the hurt. But Job would tell you, you're not going to find him there. Mm-hmm. Whenever you encounter the storm, you've got to find God by faith. Because he will not exist in the storm. You got to watch your preposition. Didn't I say earlier that he rides on the storm? Mm-hmm. Yeah, in other words, he is in the position where he controls what happens next. Do you see the difference there? So now he's not in it, and if he's not in it, and I'm dealing with it, then that means that I'm going to have to find him in other ways other than what I'm enduring. And that means that I've got to look for him with an eye of faith. Let me put it to you another way. I got another story to help you out. You remember the woman who had been suffering from hemorrhaging of 12 years? Stay with me now. 12 years she bled. Was God in the bleeding? No, he wasn't. And though she had visited many doctors, healers, none of them were able to heal her. And the Bible says that she spent all of her money trying to get well. God was not in her financial calamity. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Let me put you up on something here today. In the world that we live in, watch this woman with the issue. You will notice that the woman first had to spend everything that she had trying to get better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's your extremities. Somebody say she went to the extreme. The story is that she spent everything that she had trying to get better. So I want to drop a little information right here. Anytime in life that your money fail you, believe me when I tell you the storm is going to begin. Oh my God. Whenever your money can't do it for you, that's when the storm is going to begin. Because when your money run out, people run out. Oh my God, I'm preaching now. Y'all don't believe me here. Y'all don't realize how much of it is that people are depending not on who you are to do what they do, but they're looking at what you can do for them based on what they're going to do for you. But when you can no longer walk on the assumption that people really care, that means your money is gone. And you can no longer rely on the fact that because others have it, then you got it too. I know that's what they say. Mi casa is tu casa. But you better believe they may take you to the hotel, but you ain't going to stay too many nights. You see, the woman is frenetic. That means the woman is at an extreme. Somebody say extreme. Mm-hmm. And she's acting out of a last-ditch effort. Her presence in the large crowd is frowned upon by everybody. So you got to realize that what she has to do is now scurry around and go undetected. Why? Because she don't have no money and she's still unclean. I don't know if you've ever seen it like this. So she can't walk around. She got to scurry around. She has to crawl around because she has to go undetected in her secret storm. Y'all not hearing me now? She can't brush nobody. She can't touch nobody. She can't share no friendly gesture. She can't just wave and grin. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you talking about a storm. She lived in isolation and she lived in her life of uncleanliness because of her bleeding. But still, while she was on her knees,
while she was crawling around in the lower parts of life. It did not negate the fact that just because she could not see her way out, just because her patience is wearing thin, and just because you're looking at it and you don't see no way to win, how many of you here know that God does his best work? When you have run out of everything you have. So here it is now that this woman, like a whole lot of you all, you're in a good position right now, scurrying around in the lows of life. And that's what gave her an epiphany of a real revelation. Come on, somebody. You see, while I'm down here, and I'm not going to get down and crawl. I feel like it, but I want y'all just to imagine now I'm down. And she says, while I'm down here, life put me here. My secret storm is keeping me here. But then here comes revelation. You see it? Y'all know what I'm about to say. You know what I'm about to say. While I'm already down here, while I've already spent everything up there, while I ain't got nobody down here in my secret storm, I'm ready to tell you something now. While you're going through and you don't want to tell nobody, while you're at your wit's end and you don't want to talk about it, while you're down there, look at somebody and don't say nothing, just point at them. Come on, go ahead. They don't mind. Y'all know each other. While you're down there, you're in a good position to touch the hem of his garment, because you can't touch it from up here. You gotta touch it when you're down there. If I could just touch, you see, everybody else wanna touch his face. Everybody else trying to grab his hands. They want to keep their hands in his hands. They want him to embrace them. But here I am down here. I'm about finished with y'all now. And if I could just touch while I'm down here the hem of his garment, watch the revelation. By faith, I know I will be made whole. Now, you couldn't have said that when you had money in your pocket. You could not have said that when you had friends by the pockets full. But when all of the money ran out, when all of your friends were gone, somebody here know what I'm talking about. All I got to do is, somebody say, by faith. Is all I gotta do is just touch the hem of his garment. Now, you see, some of y'all think that God is doing his best work while you in the church house doing all of that dancing and shouting. Shouting and dancing. You think God is, oh, God working today. He in the house. He all up in here today. No, that's called your praise. When you see me getting my best praise on, two things are happening. One is I'm praising because of what God has done. And I'm praising him because of what he promised he's going to do. So if you want to see the God that I serve doing what he does best, you got to leave the church house and watch me in my everyday life, because he's not going to do it necessarily while I'm in here. But if you want to see God do his best, tell your neighbor, follow me. Yes, because whenever God promises you something, you better believe that trouble is on its way. Yes, I got an illustration right here. I brought something that I wanted to help to make this better understood. Come on, Layla, you help me today. Come on up here. I'm just going, you ain't got to say nothing. Just come up here, because I want to show you the difference. Now you see, I'm going to give you something right here in the worship. And you take that. That's yours. You got it. Do what you want to do with it. Use it, because that's yours. Thank you, Layla. That's yours. Now, ain't she blessed? Come on and praise God, because she got blessed. Who saw the blessing? We all saw it right here in front of our faces. We all saw the blessings. But wait a minute. That's one thing. And that's why I praise God, because I got a blessing. But wait a minute. What's the baby's name? Come on up here, baby. Yes, I got something for you too. It's called a check. Wait a minute. You can't do with yours what she can do with hers, because all that is a promise that you're gonna get that amount. You hope. Yes, that's what you're hoping for. And you got more than what she got. But you can't use it like she used it. Stay here, baby, because it's just a promise, and you better hope that that ain't something that float or bounce, because if it does, then my promise ain't no good. Go on, baby, and I'm gonna watch the blessings come to fruition. That ain't daddy's, that's yours. I'm gonna put your name on that one. Give it to granddaddy. Let granddaddy cash it. Y'all work that out. You see, God does not promise the obvious. He gives you the obvious, but he promises the extraordinary. Y'all don't hear me. Have you ever thought about God never promised you food or raiment, but he said in his word, yes, with food and raiment you be content. Somebody say that comes with the territory. But the Bible also says, watch this, baby, now unto him who is able, to do exceeding abundant, above what we ask and what we think. You didn't expect that. You wasn't waiting on that. You may not deserve that, but who I am wanted you to have it, and there ain't nothing that nobody can do with it. I'm finished now. Come on and stand to your feet and say, God is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or whatever we think. So I want to tell y'all today, don't get too comfortable and fixed in where you live, because God has a building that's designed with your name on it. Come on and wave your hand and say, Lord, I thank you for what's on its way. And in the midst of my storm, that's where you are. And I'm believing today, farewell. Go ahead and sign me off. I'm finished for the day. It's over now. It's wrapping up. Come on, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm out of here, but I'm going to give praises, because in the midst of the storm, God have already told me, that while the ship shall be destroyed, that I'm going to survive. So that tells me that my relationship with people may end, but I will survive. My friendship may end with people, but I will survive. My bank account may get funny, but I will survive. Because while the ship is all torn up, everything with me is still all right. So now go ahead and say, Lord, I thank you, because the promise that you made me is greater than anything that I could ever imagine in my life. Go ahead and say hallelujah. Oh, shuck, shuck. Hallelujah. 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 I'll see y'all next Sunday at 11:30 a.m. But on my way and on my way home, I will praise him with tongues. I'll never get tired. Somebody say yes. I'll give him praises. Oh, I'll give him praises. Oh, shuck, shuck. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come with me. I'll still praise him. Come with me. But I'll still praise him. I'll still praise him. I'll still praise him. Turn me down inside. God bless y'all. God in this way. I just needed y'all to know that this morning. That was very personal with me. I needed this message today myself. I don't know whether you needed it or not, but I needed to be reminded that God, when you feel the storm, peace be still. That doesn't necessarily mean that.
So good to
us. Storm, do what you
brought us from a mighty long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Have y'all ever seen that?
It reaches to the highest mountains. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh. The blood of Jesus gives me strength. Yes, it does. From death. today. Oh, your shield will never, it's never gonna lose, never gonna lose its power. Come on and sing it like we were taking communion on Sunday morning. Just lift your voice and say it, reaching to the highest.
Seated in the presence of God.
I know I'm supposed to go to my seat now, but my mama's a 10-year cancer survivor, and she's standing right there. Wave your hand, mama. 10 years ago, she went through 6 months of chemotherapy, 34 treatments of radiation. Yeah. You can't tell me what God wants.
Come here, Bishop Hezekiah Walker. Don't you stand there like he's not a miracle worker. He's working a miracle for you right now.
That's right.
Somebody beside you don't understand your praise, but I want you to grab somebody around you that don't mind dancing, that don't mind praising, and I want you to hit the floor right now. Don't y'all let mama dance by herself. Come on in here. I feel a praise in this.
some people on your row, and they see you praising God, and they think you praising God tonight because you're not going through nothing. But tell somebody, say, I'm not praising God tonight because I'm not going through nothing. Say, I'm praising God tonight because I don't look like the hell that I'm going through now. See, I will bless the Lord at all times in this crazy shit.
Supposed to win in that? God. You know who gets the upper hand in that? God. So now, God didn't bring
Listen,
you through this for
kingdom.
Jonathan to do what and Jonathan wants
mindset
to
do. Is a kingdom
Jonathan
mindset.
To go where he wants to go.
Let me hear you. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see you do your hands like this.
No negotiating.
Here we go.
But what God can do, that is a very long and long
way
to come to your knowledge, to your knowledge, your mental
you're more than-
love you so much. We weigh on her so much. We take up a lot of her weight. Eddie, we take a lot of your wife's time. My wife, we takes a lot of your wife's time. Amen. But, and I can say this because I know she did, but we fed her, and then we fed fruit. Did y'all get some of the ribs? Okay, I just want to try to know. I'm trying to make peace with Corbin also. Because my wife had us we all day long yesterday. We had Regina. She said, I'm so tired. And I was thinking, like, my wife has us running all. We just be doing things. Amen.
It's not comfortable.
Thank you so much for your time.
It doesn't feel good.
Mr., thank you for putting up with us. Amen. Layla, love you so much. Hope you don't find it boring here.
That even though it may not feel good right now, as long
we're kind of a word church.
As I'm in his hands.
Other things are going to be coming. All right?
I know that everything is
going
to be all right.
Thank my staff.
Just touch somebody, look them in the face,
Elena
and tell
and Cassandra, they did a wonderful job with the presentation. If you got Roku, you know you can go to Bishop D.A. Hurd and you can watch this almost in 4K now. Yeah, if you got Roku, just download. It's Bishop D.A. on Roku. So if you got a Roku player,
listen,
you know, it'll come on. It'll take now for
and
you
to shared,
upload it. Probably about 5 or 6 to do. Just go there and download that Roku.
And sometimes those hands and give him some praise. Oh, I can't get no help in here. That's a good place to bless him. Listen,
Poppy,
listen to the words.
So take care of that check for her.
See your day.
Fix it for her, all right?
Even when the sun is up, yes, it is.
Don't you forget what your promise is. In your
and from the top of your
lungs,
you shout. What shall I do? Can I tell you one thing? Remember, just know he has his hand. He has his
hand.
Yes, it does. He said, I'll see you through. Yeah.